We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the Sixth Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast, with your hosts, Luke Sylvia and Jonathan Osborne, covering all things Magic basketball, by fans, for fans. Go Magic! What's going on, Orlando Magic fans? You guys are back with the Sixth Man Show. Today is April 27, 2024. Jonathan Osborne here, as always, joined by my co-host, Luke Sylvia. Luke Sylvia, the Magic with the win today. 2-2. It's all tied up going back to Cleveland. Feeling pretty good. Don't want to be, you know, overly confident. But I did want to just point out and ask, you said Cleveland in five, and that's now impossible. I hope that you feel pretty good about that. But what has happened so far that you didn't think was going to be able to happen in this series?
Game two and game one were exactly my fear. Cleveland packs the paint, dares you to shoot the three ball. And to an extent, if you look at these two games that the Magic have won, last game especially, and this one obviously tonight, like in game before, they shoot 46% from three. The Magic are getting the threes if they want them. They've been generating open looks the entire series, but the difference is they're hitting shots, and that's just genuinely what I thought wouldn't happen because of the fact that there's nobody besides like Joe and Gary with and J.I. with postseason experience. Like I just genuinely thought coming down to it, I didn't think that they were going to be able to shoot the ball. And it, especially with the way games one and two went, there wasn't a lot to suggest that we would right the ship in terms of shooting. It's not like we had one bad game shooting the ball. We had two games in a row of like 20% from three, basically. And so for me, it's just literally that. Putting the ball in the basket. Obviously, I didn't foresee holding Cleveland to 10 points in a quarter. I know how good this defense is, but you can't even expect that the number one defense in the league, or the Orlando Magic, who are basically that, right? Number three, I think, is where they finish in defensive rating, one after post-All-Star break. It's not even feasible to demand that from them, to hold a team to 10 points in a quarter, especially a team with a Donovan Mitchell on the other side. And defense somehow has just been even better than we saw it maybe all year, aside from a couple quarters. Cavs haven't scored 100 yet. I didn't foresee that, regardless of series count. There's a lot. Like the bare bones is like the defense has excelled more than I thought they would. And the offense shooting the basketball in games three and four have been otherworldly and almost seem impossible compared to how terrible they were in games one and two shooting the basketball.
Did you potentially underestimate like the effect that the home crowds would have on this team and how good the home crowds were? Because to be honest, I knew that the guys would shoot better at home. I knew that like especially like the role players would play better at home. Did not expect them to feed off of these Kia Center crowds the way that they have.
A lot of concern came from the offensive end going into the series, obviously. And yes, obviously I know that the arena can play a factor, the fans getting into it. but it doesn't matter if the opposing team doesn't let you into it. I only was thinking about when it came to the home crowd stuff. It was like, yeah, well, the home crowds were great against Toronto in the playoffs, and it just didn't matter. It didn't matter because you couldn't generate any open. Every bucket was tough. Every single one. And so on that end, like to that point, like I know that the crowd can get into it, but I didn't know that this team would allow us to get in it and stay in it. And they have allowed the Magic fans to stay engaged the entire game, aside from the first couple minutes where you're already juiced up anyway because you just tipped off. But like the first few minutes of the game have been the worst parts of the game for the Magic in these games 3 and 4.
The home crowds have just been so impressive.
Incredible.
Like you and I were not in attendance today. Kevin was, and we were there Thursday night, and there were people that were saying, like, as good as Thursday was, Saturday may even have been a bit better. Like J.I., Magic were up 9 with like 2 minutes to go in the third. J.I. checks in after a set of Franz Wagner free throws. The first thing that J.I. does is steal the inbounds pass, passes it to Jalen. Jalen hits it right back to J.I., and J.I. hits the three to put the Magic up 12. To me, that's when I knew the game was over. Like J.I. hits that three, the building's going crazy. Magic went on just like a crazy run to end that third quarter. But yeah, I was there, like you said, in 2019. And I don't think, as great as that crowd was in 2019, I don't think it compares to what we've witnessed the last couple of games. Like that's, I think it's the difference when you, like the city just knows like how special this team has the potential to be and how good they've been. Like, Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner and Jalen Suggs and these guys, and you know, getting a healthy Jonathan Isaac back. The city has been on fire all season long for this team. We've talked about it, how great the Kia crowds have been all year. And in the playoffs, they've like just legitimately been taken to another level. So we'll talk more about Game 4 and just what has been different in Games 3 and 4 versus Games 1 and 2, and look ahead now that the team is going to be going back to take on Cleveland in Cleveland on Tuesday. But just want to let you know right now, if you're listening to this, if you haven't seen it already, our new episode of The Six Fan Show is up on YouTube. Producer Kevin's putting that together right now as we speak. Luke and myself haven't seen it yet, but Ben told us this is the best one that we've had since we've been doing these this year, and it makes sense. You know, you have your second big win in a row at home in the playoffs. It's probably going to be pretty crazy. So if you haven't seen that yet, go ahead and check that out on our YouTube. Game 5 watch party is going to be Tuesday. We don't have the time for Game 5 yet. That's the schedule has not been set for the time of Game 5 on Tuesday. But if that's at 6:30, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 8:30, whatever time that game starts, we're going to be on Wall Street for Game 5 downtown Orlando. So if you're in the area, if you're in Central Florida, if you're able to make the drive, as fun as Games 1 and 2 were, the fact that, like, hey, if the Magic can pull off this Game 5 win, they're going to be coming back to Orlando with a chance on Friday to end the series. I know that watch party is going to be crazy. The first couple were incredible. Over 1,000 people at each of those. So, yeah, if you're in the area, you don't want to miss it. It's going to be a party. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I also want to give a quick shout out to someone that is a listener of the show, Jonathan. It's just hilarious. I get a picture from my mom tonight during the game near the end. The game's basically over. It's in the fourth quarter. And she sent a picture, a selfie of her, my father, and someone I didn't recognize. And she says, our six-man show friend, Vladimir. And I said, how did this connection get made? And Vladimir looks ecstatic to be taking a picture with my parents. My parents look to be ecstatic taking a picture of Vladimir. And she said, she was like, he was saying how crazy it was Thursday night for Game 3. And she told him, like, that's what our son said. He was here with his podcast buddies. And he said, what podcast? So she told, you know, it was the show. And he said, I listen to that podcast on my way to work every morning. I love those guys. So,
No, that's Vladimir. Not what he said. That's not what he said. He said, I love Luke Sylvia, is so what he said.
Yeah. So, Yeah. So funny to me that my parents are even in the realm to be able to have a conversation like that. And yeah. Shout out to Vladimir listening to the show on your way to work. I'm sure you're listening to this episode coming off of that huge win. So yeah, shout out Vladimir. Thanks for being a total gem to my parents. They had great things to say about you. So I appreciate you.
That's awesome. Yeah. Shout out to Teddy Sylvia, one of our, you know, a longtime patrons. Patron. Really, really appreciate still waiting on Ron, you know, to join the Patreon. But shout out to Teddy. Right. We really
she's told him that, by the way. So we'll see.
I'm totally kidding. I'm sure, you know, they share the bank account. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's yeah, but totally fine there.
My mom still rubs in his face that she gets shouted out and he doesn't. And she's like, you better go ahead and make your Patreon account. So
that's incredible. Yeah. Well, one thing that we did not talk about just in all of the craziness of these first few playoff games this week, Jamal Mosley was named a coach of the year finalist. I know the votes are already in. I know Mark Daigneault is probably going to be coach of the year, you know, super young Thunder team. They've overachieved us, to a great amount, number one team, you know, number one seed in the Western Conference. But man, I just don't know, like, if you've watched now 86 games of this Magic team this season, how you don't think Jamal Mosley is the coach of the year. He's just done such a great job. Our guy, Pierre, you know, from the Numbers on the Board podcast with ESPN, Pee Wee to Plug, shout out my guy. He was tweeting during game four, like, look at Coach Mosley. Like, he is so animated. He is in his own defensive stance on the sideline. And I'm like, brother, that's not for the playoffs. He's been doing that like since the day he got here. Mm-hmm. That is Jamal Mosley, 48 minutes a game, 86 games this season. He is always so into it, but much deserved. Really, really happy for Jamal Mosley. And what sucks is, like, I don't know how much of a leap the Magic are going to have next year. And these are like awards that are, like, they only give out for like the year that you're in. But when you're looking at his body of work over the course of the last 3 years, like, we're going to look back a few years from now and be like, look how far he brought that Magic team. It's crazy that if he never ends up winning Coach of the Year, I would love to be pleasantly surprised if he does win it this year. It seems like it's going to be Mark Daigneault, but yeah, I just want to give a shout out to Coach Mose.
Yeah, shout out to him. We know how this is going to end this year, but my money is going to be on Jamal Mosley winning a Coach of the Year once, maybe twice. Who knows how many times by the time the Magic are done hanging all their banners.
Man, I was thinking about that today. I know I tweeted it out. So I watched game four on Bally, and then I was recording the TNT broadcast. So like an hour, maybe 2 hours after the game, I went back and watched the second half of the TNT broadcast. And Franz's final bucket to get 31, he's, you know, telling the crowd, get him out of here, get him out of here. Like, talking about the Cavs, you know, they're up a million. And Paolo comes over and is like, this is what you do, boy. Like, and like, they're showing shots of the crowd, everybody celebrating. And I'm just thinking, like, this fan base is this hyped for game four to tie the series in a first round, like, playoff matchup. It might not be next year, but in the next couple of years, like, as we're getting to the Eastern Conference semifinals and the Eastern Conference finals, and hopefully eventually the NBA finals, like, thinking about this fan base and like these group of guys someday being able to like celebrate an NBA championship, like, it's enough to make a grown man cry. Like, I was just thinking about that, like, getting super emotional. And look, super happy for people that have started following the team in the last couple of years. But if you've been a fan of this team for, you know, 10, 15 years, and you were there to see the finals run in 2009 and the run to the Eastern Conference Finals in 2010, or if you jumped in a little bit after that, you're a little bit late to the party and you've witnessed like the last decade of suffering. Like, I'm just so happy that Magic fans all over the place get to experience this season and the last couple of games. Hey, maybe we lose, you know, games 5 and 6, or maybe we lose, you know, game 5, win game 6 and lose game 7 in Cleveland. Whatever happens in this series, this has just been like such an incredible season. And the fact that we got to witness like 2 blowout wins in Orlando in front of that crowd, just like whatever happens the rest of the season, we're now at the point where it is all house money, right? Mm-hmm. We said, don't get swept, lose in 6, lose in 7. It's a great experience for this young team. For me, like, if I'm one of these guys, the pressure is off. These guys, nobody expected them to be there. Some people expected them to be at this point in the series. But nobody's going to be shaking their finger at the Magic like, oh, you lost that first round series to the Cavs. Like, all of the pressure is on Cleveland. And like, just go out, play the way that you've been playing, play together, play loose, have fun. The city's going to be behind you. And regardless of what happens the rest of the way, man, like, the Magic do have a legitimate chance to win this series, especially if they can get it done on Tuesday. I looked this up. As of 2018, I think it was 82% of the time, 82.8% of the time, the winner of Game 5 in a series that is tied to 2-2 goes on to win the series. So history says if you win Game 5, you win the series.
The crazy thing is that we're going to have, like, if the Magic are able to steal Game 5, you're then going to have two stats kind of duking it out, because the other stat, Jonathan, that the team that starts out and gets to a 2-0 lead wins like 92% of the series. But I guarantee you that the following game in Game 3, they didn't get beat by 38, the team that was up 2-0. And then the following game, they didn't get held to 10 points in a quarter. So I'm hopeful that if the Magic can win Game 5, I'm going to ride with that stat that you just said about 82%, whatever it was. Now,
the margin of victory the last two games, 30.5 points on average.
Yeah, is that good?
It's pretty good.
Incredible. Now, you talk about they can kind of play with nothing to lose, and alluding to that can bode well for them, obviously, in Game 5 when it comes to shooting. Games 1 and 2, you probably felt the pressure mounting, because I guarantee you, this Magic team obviously just wants to win the series, but they definitely didn't want to get swept. They wanted to see a win get put on the board, and they can go from there. I think that they will be, like you said, they're playing with house money. They got really nothing to lose at this point. They're going to go into Cleveland with that, yes, but they're also going to go into Cleveland with the confidence of smoking those dudes two games in a row at home. They're going to have, that's the deadliest combo, confidence and being able to play just like carefree, because this is all gravy. But these guys want to win. They smell blood. There's no way around it. But I just think they're going to be a much looser, better team than we saw in games 1 and 2. You couldn't be much worse, to be honest with you. Offensively, that is. Defensively, you know, they were still solid. But you just, I can't wait to see what they look like in Game 5.
Yeah, they shot in the first two losses. They were shooting 36 threes a game, 23.6%. In the wins, the last two games, 31.5 threes a game, 39.6%. Now, that's not going to continue. But like, those first couple of games in Cleveland, we were like, even if you shoot 35% from three in those games, like, you're at least in it the last few minutes. Maybe you might not have won those games, but you're getting into that clutch territory. You know, game is within 5 points with 5 or less minutes to go. So that's what I'm looking forward to in Game 5, is just how much of the confidence is going to carry over. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of the adjustments the Magic have made. Now, obviously, losing the last two games by an average of 30.5 points, the adjustments are going to come from Cleveland. What moves are they going to make? When we get back to Cleveland on Tuesday. So let's go ahead. Let's talk about Game 4. So obviously, Game 3, you blow the doors off. You expect that Cleveland's going to come in and they're going to want to get off to a hot start. Donovan Mitchell's comments after Game 3, how he didn't see Paolo Banchero, hitting him with the too small, and I didn't see that, but that's good to know, as if he was just going to come out like super motivated and just take over the series. I've just been so impressed with the way that the Magic have not only contained Donovan Mitchell but also Darius Garland. But this game, you get off to a little bit of a rough start again. Magic were down 6-0 early before they started, putting some things together, and the shots started to fall once again. But in the first half, the issue, basically, you can just point to the turnovers. 11 first half turnovers for the Magic after having 8 total in Game 3. Shot the ball okay, 54% from the floor, 33% from behind the arc. They were 8 of 10 at the free throw line. Cleveland shoots 56% in the first half, but just 2 of 7 from behind the arc. 14 of 15 at the free throw line. officiating in the first half was a little bit suspect. It did feel like Cleveland was getting calls on their end that the Magic were not. But ultimately, it came down to the turnovers in that first half, 11 first half turnovers, and you're down 60 to 51 heading into the second half. I wasn't like scared. I wasn't like, oh my gosh, this game's over, nothing like that. But I was a little bit concerned just the way that especially Paolo and Jalen Suggs, I think they accounted for 9 of those 11 first half turnovers. Mm. The way that those guys looked, it was not great. Now, Franz had 11 points in the first half. He was really good. 11 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a block, 4 of 7. But I don't think anybody could have seen what was coming from Franz Wagner in the second half. But for the Magic, like they go on a little bit of a run, in that first half. They storm all the way back. They are down 9. They take the lead. Shortly after that, there's a play where Darius Garland has the ball. The play is whistled dead. Jalen is still sort of like grabbing at the ball and like swiping at Darius Garland, and he sort of flings his arm at Jalen. Jalen gets in Darius Garland's face. The Magic were up, I want to say like 69 to 68 or 68 to 67 at that point. They get nose to nose, and Jalen is absolutely loving it. He's smiling, nodding his head. The rest of the team is getting fired up. I didn't feel any type of way about it. Like, Garland's getting grabbed at. He's turning around. These guys are competing. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was an awesome moment between those two guys. And this has been a not crazily chippy series, but it's been chippy enough that it's been really fun to watch some of the extracurriculars between these two teams. But then those guys get called for the softest double tech I've ever seen where, yeah, they're in each other's faces, but they're both laughing. You can tell they're having a good time. It's just, the competitive fire sort of flowing back and forth. But then the Magic in that third continue to build on that lead with 3 minutes or 4 minutes and 16 seconds to go in the third quarter. This game was 74 to 70. And the Magic go on a 14-0 run to end that third quarter, make it 88-70. We talked about that JI3. The Magic are up 70-79. Franz Wagner makes 2 free throws. George Niang tries to throw the ball inbounds to Darius Garland. It just sort of gets away from him. JI comes up with the steal. Jalen's coming back down the other end. He swings it to Jalen. Jalen finds JI on the right wing there. And you just hear the noise in the arena as soon as J.I. sort of steps into that shot. You hear it elevate, and then when he hits that shot, the building just explodes. Markel hits another like tough layup on the next possession to put the Magic up 14. And you take that. I mean, let's talk about the last play of the third quarter. Markel drives the lane, tries to lay it up, misses it. J.I. crashes from the corner, grabs it with one hand, and tips the dunk back in to give the Magic the 18-point lead going into the fourth. And at that point, I think pretty much everybody knew that it was over. Magic end up taking as much as a 30-point lead in that fourth quarter before it was all said and done. And just another game where the Kia Center showed up. The Magic were able to knock down shots and just dominate Cleveland for the second straight game here on their way to the 112-89 victory.
Paolo Banchero scores 9 points in this one. It was a rough game for Paolo, and second half it was rough because he wasn't hitting shots. First half it was rough because he wasn't hitting shots, and he was turning the ball over. He had 4 turnovers in that first half, but the important thing and what played a big role in that second half is that Paolo didn't have a turnover in that second half. Yeah, he still was struggling. He went 2-for-8 in the second half, but he also had 4 assists and 0 turnovers. So for me, to be able to get your mind right and also realize like, hey, Franz Wagner's cooking, I'm pretty much just going to let him do his thing, and I'm going to take the shots when I've got them, when they feel fine, but I'm not going to force anything. Franz goes 9 of 10 in the second half. Obviously 23 points there, 2 of 2 from 3, and Paolo just lets Franz do his thing, and I don't think enough can be said for the fact that Paolo took care of the basketball first and foremost in that second half after having what felt like turnover-wise was going to be a replica of game one for him, where he had 9 turnovers in that game. But instead, he has 0 turnovers, 4 assists, getting his teammates involved, realizing like, hey, I might not have it. I'm not going to stop shooting that thing, but I'm also not going to force things. We're going to let Franz cook. And that's exactly what he did. So I couldn't be prouder of Paolo in this one. I don't think I've ever been prouder of a guy that has 9 points and goes 4-14 from the floor as your number one option. But to have the awareness that he had tonight and let Franz do his thing, incredible.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We've talked about it on this show multiple times. I know throughout the last couple of seasons, but especially this year, one of my favorite things about Paolo is just how good of a teammate he is. Like, I cannot remember a dude with superstar potential like Paolo Banchero, who obviously is the face of the franchise. Everybody knows that he is the guy. He's the all-star. And on nights when he doesn't have it, and this has happened multiple times throughout the last couple of years, maybe not even nights where he necessarily doesn't have it, but just when another guy has it going, he has no problem like feeding into that as long as he realizes like it's for the betterment of the team. Like, in his moments when he realizes like, hey, I have to be a little bit more aggressive here and step up, he will. But the fact that he's never, ever shied away from giving his teammates their credit, letting them have their moments, and just being so unbothered by that and just being happy with the team having success, I think is just so awesome from it. It shows just the confidence that he has in himself, the maturity level, like to your credit or to your point, and to your credit, because it was a great point. Just super proud of Paolo and the way that, even though he had it, didn't necessarily have it going offensively tonight, was still able to defer to Franz and sort of not force things, especially in that second half. And yeah, the second half by Franz, I mean, we probably should have even led with this whole conversation, just talking about Franz the way that we did with talking about Paolo the other night, because Franz was just flat out incredible. I mean, you talked about that second half, but 34 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 block, 0 turnovers, 13 of 17 from the floor, 76.5%, 2 of 3 from behind the arc, and 6 of 7 at the free throw line. Like, every bit as impressive as Paolo's game was the other night. Like, for Paolo, it was just knocking down like a ton of crazy, tough, contested jump shots. Franz was just like hitting everything and getting to the rim at will. Right now, Luke, I don't want to speak too soon, but through the playoffs in 4 games, Franz is sitting at 21.5 points. He's shooting 50.8% from the floor, and he's on 4.5 attempts, shooting 38.9% from behind the arc. We've been asking all year long, like, what has happened to the shooting? If he's just like, oh, I'm just going to wait until April and I'll figure it out then, completely fine with that. If you would have told us that Franz through 4 games was going to be shooting 38.9% from behind the arc, we would have thought the series was either tied or we were up 3-1. Like, if we knew that Franz was going to be able to shoot the ball the way that he has been in this series, we all would have been ecstatic about that. So Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner. I don't know if you've heard this before, folks, but these guys are going to be two of the very best players in our league. People are maybe just now starting to realize that. The two guys that you're listening to here, we've been saying this for almost 2 years now. So again, just this game was awesome. Like Franz hitting the spin move on George Niang in the first quarter and then, or the first half, and then pointing to him on the floor, picking up the tech. Like that was whatever, but like Franz, Jalen, Mo Wagner, like the way that these guys are just like jawing at the Cavs nonstop throughout these games. So much fun. It was a rough first half for Jalen. He ends up on the night with 12 points, 4 of 7 from the floor, 2 of 5 from behind the arc, 2 of 2 at the free throw line, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. The 7 turnovers absolutely cannot happen, but he was also much better in that second half, you know, hitting timely threes. When Jalen's hitting threes, Franz is hitting threes, J.I.'s hitting threes, Wendell's hitting threes. Wendell was really good tonight, 11 points, 5 rebounds, 4 of 6, 2 of 3 from the three-point line. The two threes that he had in the third quarter like really helped the Magic like get back into the game and start to go on that run. Guys are hitting threes, man. This team is really freaking good. I mean, J.I. was 4 of 6 tonight from behind the arc, 14.7 rebounds, an assist, a steal, 2 blocks. Magic aren't going to shoot 46% from the three-point line, but the guys that are hitting threes are the guys that we thought would and should be hitting threes, maybe with the exception of Franz.
Jonathan Isaac had 4 threes. He was 4 of 6. There was a point in the game where I believe he had a step back in the corner, and then he had one from the right wing maybe, or the right corner, I can't remember, but they were pretty much back-to-back almost. And they're coming back down the court, and I just love seeing players that don't normally get hot, seeing how they act when they're hot. Jonathan Isaac in the left corner as they come down the court. I believe it was Paolo with the ball maybe, and I think Paolo had maybe just checked in again. And J.I., I was just watching. All I was doing was watching J.I. and watching Paolo in my peripheral, where like J.I. was just calling for the ball. Give me the ball. I want the ball. Like motioning with his hands the entire time. He doesn't end up getting the ball, but I love it. And we ended up missing the shot that possession. And the whole time after that, I was just thinking like, man, would J.I. have nailed that three? Did we just get robbed of like J.I. being unconscious from three? He has been so much fun. And it's been fun this year with J.I. just because of the way that we really haven't placed expectation on him. Like we said it time and time again, we're coming into the season with like whatever J.I. gives you is just like the cherry on top. And we're not expecting a thing, right? We don't know if he'll stay healthy. We don't know if he'll look the same. J.I., we've talked about him many, many times, but now that his offensive game has really started to come around to where like, yeah, of course he's not going to come in and give you 25, but he is going to come in. And you can now, it feels like you're at the point, you can trust Jonathan Isaac to hit an open three. More than that, you can trust Jonathan Isaac to hit a contested three. This guy was clanking off the side of the backboard 2 months ago, and he's come into form. Like there is not a bet. Like you said this with Franz Wagner, right? He struggles all year shooting three pretty much. And then you'd say like, hey, if you're just going to say like, I'll wait till April to figure it out, by all means necessary. Jonathan Isaac, it has been a pleasure to see your game evolve. Listen, this entire season.
J.I.'s been a little bit better.
Of course.
Like, he shot 37% the on the
concept,
year, but
the concept is the same, yeah. Right? Like he's not just hitting them. He is taking them at volume, high volume. So I just wouldn't have believed you if you told me, hey, Jonathan Isaac shot 6 threes in a playoff game. And oh, by the way, he hit 4 of them. He's just been incredible. And he's been the same on the other side of the court. Like you said, what was it? 2 blocks, 1 steal. I'm watching this last 2 games. I've just been in awe of everybody.
Yeah, I'm following a few Cavs accounts just to sort of see their perspective throughout this series, and somebody that covers the Cavs tweeted during this game like, "Oh, they want Jonathan Isaac taking these shots." Like they thought, you know, the first couple of games in Cleveland that was just like, "Oh, that's we're going to force them into the worst possible shot with Jonathan Isaac taking corner 3." Like, no, those are the shots that we want Jonathan Isaac taking in the flow of the offense. So Through four games, J.I. is shooting 42.9% from the three-point line. And according to Stat Mamba, he's holding opponents to 26.9% field goal percentage when he's the closest defender.
I will also add this on the topic of three-point shooting. During this game, you mentioned that you had like recorded the TNT broadcast to go back and watch it just through a different perspective and to watch the Magic on national television, which is great. But I was like flipping back and forth. I don't have like recording. So I'm like, if there's like a big run happening, like there was in that second half, I was flipping over to TNT just to see what they were saying and how they were hopefully gushing about the Magic. I don't remember which broadcaster it was. Dell had a three from the top of the key. And I got what he was saying, kind of, because Dell hasn't been awesome shooting the ball in the series.
He's shot 37% this year. Like,
and you know what I'm talking about. He's like, that's, you're okay. You want him to take that shot. I'm like, why would you want him to take
that shot?
That's the
shot they want, Wendell. It's like,
the easiest three in the game, and you're telling me you don't want, that's the guy.
It's one thing to be like, okay, he hasn't shot the ball great in this series, but why don't I take 5 seconds? It takes 5 seconds to look up what a guy has shot.
And you know they've got it all in front of them. They've got it all in front of them, and that's just laziness. That irritated me, and then I promptly switched back over to Bally after he said that, because like, wait, why do I even care? I just want to see like the TNT logo and that the Magic are playing. I don't really care. No disrespect to the commentators, but there's nothing like watching those guys at Bally do their thing and seeing them be as, knowing these guys are as happy, if not happier, than I am watching this game and watching our guys play and win the games. So yeah, that was just one thing there. I thought that was pretty moronic, but on that end, but it's just lack of research and is what it is. But yeah, Dell, shout out to him once again, understanding like they're not asking me to score 20. 4 of 6 from the field, 2 of 3 from three, 5 rebounds and 11 points, right? Maybe desire more on the rebounding side of things, but when Franz Wagner is playing with you and sharing the court with you a lot of times and he has 13 rebounds, not really going to expect too much and isolate Dell in that instance to like require him to have more rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that there's a ton more to break down from this game. The Magic shoot 46% from the floor. They're going to win the title. Like, I don't know. Like, there's just nothing that you can do to this team when they are knocking down shots, because pick your poison. Okay, you want to close out on Jalen Suggs or Franz Wagner, Paolo Banchero, and these guys? You don't want to do that. You want to basically do what Cleveland has been doing. And look, we said this series is going to come down to the Magic's ability to knock down shots. If Cleveland, I don't think it's time for them to sort of like shift their defensive scheme and their strategy. Like, we're going back to Cleveland. Okay, you guys knock down shots at home. You're going to need to prove that you're able to knock down shots in our building. But yeah, if the Magic are going to shoot like this, they're going to win the series.
And one more thing here, because I'm assuming we'll go to break and then just kind of talk about what we expect to come next. But Donovan Mitchell, I think this is very important. Obviously, we talk about Cleveland scoring just 10 in that third quarter, and not even scoring 30 in the second half. Donovan Mitchell has 18 points in that first half. Zero. Z-E-R-O in the second half. You hold Donovan Mitchell to 0 points in the second half after he erupts and goes basically at the end of the first half, obviously on pace for 36. 0 of 4. Not even giving him the time of day to shoot the ball. And if he has any, you're ripping the ball from him. You're stealing the pass that he has. He had 4 turnovers in the second half. So completely different night and day. You talk about tale of two halves. That was fully encompassed by the way this Magic team played basketball and just suffocating defense and holding Cleveland under 100 points was a huge part, holding, you know, slowing down Donovan Mitchell to the point where he didn't score a single point in the second half.
The fact that they still have yet to break 100 through four games and the Magic have broken 110 twice, it's just pretty hilarious. Well, okay, let's go ahead, take a quick break here. Just a quick word from our patrons, the folks that help make each and every episode. Shout out to our boy Dave, our boy Goaty, one of our patrons that allowed us to record, you know, from his family residence the other night when we did the post game live six man show, like sort of joined show. after game three. And then producer Kevin was able to record the post game live Saturday afternoon from there. So big shout out to him and his family. And also shout out to all of our patrons, the folks that help support the show, help us do everything that we do. Like without you all, we literally would not have been able to go to these playoff games. So a really big thank you. Appreciate everything that you guys do. If you would like to join our Patreon, you can find us at patreon.com/the6man show. We have different levels of tiers of benefits that you can join at. And we give our Hall of Fame and elite tier patrons a special shout out each and every episode. So let's go ahead and start with the Court Cousins. Drew Gooden, Armin, Carson Tulo, Ellis, Jonathan Borges, Normal, Magic Player History, Gabe Gaines, Wiffle, Michael Martin, Jamel Miller, Michael Salopong, Donkey Punch Dave, Paolo and Franz's Warmth, Pierre A, Dylan Holden, Mr. Mikey, Danimal, Bobby Skinner, Goaty 93, Teddy Sylvia, Eric Lopez, Fuchsia, Bill Fulton, Emin Lagone, Jose Esquilin, Caleb Pete. Shout out to Fuchsia, by the way. Got to meet Fuchsia and Wayne finally. Flew all the way from Hawaii to come to game three. It was really awesome to meet them. Shout out Caleb Pete, Cannibalism, Time Mr. TV, ESPN Really Sucks, Gear 95 Shred, Junior Bruce, Half Recon, Shahan 177, Bobby the Don, Himlo Ben Himro, RM Prov 221, Ray Pastrana, Magic Kid 714, Mysterious Mosley, Victor Cologne, Irish Magic Mike, Austin Lampy, Random Hustle, Only Franz, Maria, Keith Wallace, Fritz, Currency Kev, Rub Sal, Kaysen Green, Santi Leon, Kane Eckler, The Distract, Ahmad Timsa, Chansu, Tom Gadsden, Dead Air, Richard Tuttle, Jeremiah Quintero, Magic Wire, Debo 1980, Magic Matt, Michael Thompson, Mama Richmond, Next Snappa, What's Up, Playoffs 2024, Dylan Fay, Sammy, David Duffy, Smiths, Sheiks, Bueno Times, and Stantino 1995. A big shout out to all of our patrons. Again, you can join us and help support the show at patreon.com/the6man show.
And now to talk about our fine folks over at Jam Hot Chicken. Nashville, LA inspired hot chicken shack, locally owned and operated there in beautiful Winter Park. If you guys want to, you guys can go follow them on social media at Jam Hot Chicken, website jamhotchickenfl, .com to look at all of their things, menu, playlists, order ahead, that sort of thing. They're located 400 West New England Avenue, Suite 13 in Winter Park, Florida. And go check them out. I wasn't able to go and have any of the Jam Hot Chicken when there for game three when we went down. You and Kevin were. I am hoping on Friday for game six when we are in the building. I'm hoping because I am now off on Fridays with my new employer. Shout out to them. I'll be able to make enough time to go and have a little Jam Hot Chicken before the game. And I'm going to be very, very happy about it.
Always a good time to Jam Hot Chicken. Okay, Luke.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
2-2, like these sets of two games, you know, the Cleveland games, the Orlando games, mm-hmm. could not be more different. Some of the adjustments that the Magic have made, there's been a lot more Jalen Suggs and Franz Wagner on Donovan Mitchell. He's obviously struggled in the two games in Orlando. Magic have also continued to do a great job on Darius Garland as well. Wendell Carter being inserted into the starting lineup. I still am not completely sold that has been the fix. To me, I still feel like just overwhelmingly it's been the shooting. I feel like he did a great job on Jarrett Allen in game three. Not as great of a job. And I'm not trying to put all the blame on Wendell, but just sort of like collectively, Jarrett Allen had 21-9, 8 of 11 from the floor. At least he's not having like, you know, those 18, you know, rebound type of games. But the Magic just aren't really missing, and those rebound opportunities just aren't exactly there for Cleveland in these two games in Orlando. That, and this has been pointed out multiple times on the broadcast, but instead of each time trying to get all the way to the rim and trying to challenge Mobley and Jarrett Allen at the rim, when these guys are getting downhill and they're putting that pressure on the rim, they're stopping just short, like especially Paolo, you know, getting into that 5 to 10 feet range and sort of just pulling up there instead of trying to go all the way to the rim at these guys. And ultimately, like, it just comes down to the Magic making shots in Orlando. Like, that's been the biggest difference, obviously. But what do you think is like a chess move maybe that Cleveland can try to make as they go back home? Because, I mean, Cleveland has not shot the ball well in this series either. And I don't know that they're just going to go, okay, hey, we're going to continue to do the same thing. And maybe we'll see what happens going back to Cleveland.
Offensively, I mean, it's from an X's and O's standpoint, genuinely, I am not sure what they can do when the Magic are playing as well as they are defensively. It has seemed that the Magic, even though they had great showings in the first two games, they've learned how to turn their defense into offense in these games 3 and 4, and they're knocking down shots. They're playing lockdown defense. Going back to Cleveland, I really don't know what Cleveland is going to be able to do, aside from just hoping that you continue to penetrate and, you know, it leaves, you know, someone coming over to help, and then Jarrett Allen or Evan Mobley there for the lob or the finish. That really feels like their only thing. Like, as far as even tonight goes, what was it? Like I said, Donovan Mitchell having that 0 in the second half, 5 of 14 from the field, he can't do that in Cleveland. You do that in Cleveland, and these guys now have some momentum. The series is looking pretty doom and gloom for them. I wanted to share one thing real quick, Jonathan, because I saw it, and it has to be said on this podcast. We have to talk about this. Franz and J.I. have the dual post-game press conference, and Jonathan Isaac, being asked about like the future of the series and whatnot, says, I think momentum is in our favor, and we go out there and shots are going to fall, and we'll win that one, come home, and finish it off.
Sorry, I could not control that. That came out all by itself.
Yeah, yeah. So Jonathan Isaac, it basically saying like, and really affirming,
that's the confidence of the Lord, brother.
And affirming Cleveland, their hands are tied when the Magic decide like we're going to lock up defensively and just shoot an average percentage from the field. Average. And the other thing too, Cleveland, this is all nightmarish to them. I saw a reply under one of the Cleveland accounts that you mentioned. You look at those, and I was looking at some of them too. Someone said, I'm so tired of getting nixed, because last year they get beat by the Knicks, and they get, you know, the physicality was too much. The Jarrett Allen meme of the lights were brighter than expected gets born. He is like, I'm so tired of getting nixed. I expected to nix the Magic this series, and now all of a sudden I just realize we're just the Cavs. And he was like, do we even have to play? I was like, this is great. This is awesome. I'm glad that they feel that way, and I hope that the players feel that way too, because there's got to be flashbacks to last year where they're just getting bullied. And to be honest, like, they're getting bullied, and they were the second worst offensive rated team last year in the playoffs. Right now, they are the same second worst offensive rating team in the playoffs right now. Small sample size, but last year they did the same thing. And I don't know, man. It is crazy to think that it's pretty possible that the Magic can win a game in Cleveland. You just got to win one. And as long as you win that game at Kia, I can't let myself go there. But if I did go there and I say that the Magic end up pulling this thing off, I can't help but think you're effectively ending the Donovan Mitchell era in Cleveland, and the Magic could take their first prisoner and make a team decide we need to fix things up. We need to shake it up. We can't do this anymore.
Well, we already did that to the Knicks earlier this year. You beat the Knicks, and then, you know, they decide to blow up the RJ Barrett, you know, Emmanuel quickly, you know, iteration of the Knicks. For me, as much as I've liked to see this guy on the floor and our guys chirping back and forth with him and Magic fans booing him in the games here in Orlando, I don't know how much longer like the Cavs will be able to play George Niang. Right now, he's averaging 18.4 minutes, but 3.5 points per game. He's shooting 22% from the floor and 9% from behind the arc. You know, giving Isaac Okoro some more minutes, who, you know, has been able to give some of our guys trouble defensively. Sam Merrill, who torched us earlier in the year, he's only been playing 10 minutes a game. That's a guy that could help space the floor a little bit for them. So I do think they have a couple of moves, at least to try. Like for us, it was, hey, this starting lineup isn't working. Let's try Wendell. And in these games here in Orlando, it has worked. So I do think there are some moves that they're able to make. I do still think there's the possibility that, some guys get played out of the rotation. We didn't really talk about this guy, but shout out to Markelle Fultz. Markelle Fultz in the two games here in Orlando has been awesome. Like just coming off the bench, giving you a ball handler, giving somebody to sort of settle down the offense a little bit, go and create and get their own shot. He's been doing a really good job of that in the two games here in Orlando. But back to the point about like potentially getting a win in Cleveland and coming back and closing out the series. Like to me, like it just feels like we have more dogs, right? When you look at Paolo, Franz, Jalen, Mo Wagner, it just feels like in this series we have more dogs. Like I don't think that of a guy like Darius Garland. Donovan Mitchell, on the other hand, could just all of a sudden decide he's going to win the next two games completely by himself for Cleveland. Still very much a possibility. We saw this, not really this year, but last year, I forget. I think we were playing in Cleveland, and it was a close game in the last few minutes. Even with Jalen Suggs on him, Donovan Mitchell decided, like, no, this game's over. Like, I'm just going to take this game over. I'm going to make every shot in Jalen Suggs' face. It's not really going to matter what he's going to do. And he's still capable of doing that. Do I like the odds of the way that we've been guarding him and the different guys that we can throw at him to try to slow him down a little bit? I do. In four games, he's averaging 21 points. He's shooting 42.5% from the floor, 25% from behind the arc. Darius Garland is averaging 12 points on almost 42% from the floor. He is shooting 40% from behind the arc. So the Cavs sort of getting back to that like high volume of threes that they are accustomed to. I think that's sort of like another wrinkle that they could try to get back to. But the Magic have just been doing a great job of getting out and closing out to shooters and saying like, no, like if you're going to beat us, like you're going to have to do it like driving the lane. We're not going to let you beat us from behind the arc. But if they're able to free up some more of those looks and get some of those shots to fall, I definitely think that's where things can swing back to Cleveland's favor. But don't let the Magic win game five. If the Magic win game five and it comes back to Orlando, I don't think the series is going back to Cleveland. If game six is in Orlando with a chance to clinch and close out the series, I just think they get it done the way that they've been playing in front of this home crowd all year and what we've seen these last couple of games at home.
You win game five and... Well, scratch that. You win game five or lose game five. Game six will set a record for the most nerves I've ever had about this Magic team in my life. Because obviously you talk about, make the finals. Like I was 13. I just was enjoying it. Yeah, I was sad when we lost to the Lakers, but I wasn't, I was not 27 years old, fully aware of the magnitude and live and died with this team. Game six is going to be absurd when it comes to the nerves that I have as everybody else in the building. But especially if you win, I will not, I know we've already said this, like, oh, it's just kind of like we're riding high. Whatever happens, happens. It doesn't mean there won't be absolute heartbreak if the Magic happen to steal one in Cleveland, but then Cleveland comes back and steals one in Orlando, and then you go to game seven in Cleveland, and what will probably happen in that game would devastate me. So desperately need that win in Cleveland, come back home in front of the home crowd. I just can't imagine that moment, and I can't let myself go there. Because that would be electric and emotional. That would be ridiculous.
Like regardless, like this team has just gained so much valuable experience in this series, and it's exactly what we wanted. And as fun as the last two games have been, I hope that the front office like still realizes and doesn't get short-sighted, which I don't think they will. But you can't come away from these last two games and be like, oh, look, the shooting's fixed. Like we're good to go, because we know we have a, you know, an 86 game sample size from this season of this team struggles. I'm sticking with my prediction. I still say Magic in seven. I feel very confident about our odds in game five, but I would not be shocked if Philip Rossman Reich has been talking about this. We talked about this in the last episode after game three. There has not been a close game in this series yet. Basically, each one of these games has been a blowout. There has not been a game that's qualified for like the clutch minutes yet. I would expect that has to happen at some point. And I think game five is probably going to be that game. Cleveland's role players are going to play better in Cleveland. They've got to start hitting shots at some point. The Magic aren't going to be as shell-shocked, I think, as they were the first couple of games. Now that they've got a couple of wins of their own, they've experienced that atmosphere already and what that's going to be like. Now let's see these teams go toe-to-toe and who's able to execute and make shots down the stretch. Come back home, game six, either close it out or extend the series, get to game seven, and then you just never know what is going to happen in a game seven. I don't know what like the home team's records are in game seven history. I would like to see that, but game sevens are weird. Like they usually don't go the way that the rest of the series went, because it's just a fight. And when it comes to a dog fight, if it gets to a game seven, I just think we have more dogs on our team than Cleveland does. And I think that we find a way to pull it out. So I'm sticking with Magic in seven. I would love to be wrong and it be Magic in six, because I do not want the nerves of a game seven.
Away teams in game sevens, by the way, in the playoffs are 37 and 111. So,
all right, so not great.
I agree with your point. Let's just win game five and game six. Is that so hard? Let's win both of those games. And it is crazy, by the way, you think about how much emotion we've had through four games in an NBA playoff series, by the way. And I think they still got to win two more games. And it's been so just think like
if you want to win a title, you got to win 14 more.
Yeah. So that's that was for me. I was like, man, that's crazy. We're halfway there. And I have, thankfully, the Magic have let us only stress for like four quarters at home total out of eight. It's been great. Maybe five quarters out of eight, but regardless. Yeah, it's been super fun. We will see that game five watch party. I wish I could be there, because I know it will be incredible and I know everyone's going to show out. But I know that you guys will bring the energy, and man, that's going to suck not to be there. But the Magic win that game, that'll be a night to remember forever.
Well, I'll be there. It'll be awesome. And mm-hmm. You should be there too. So we don't know exactly what time the game is going to be Tuesday night. The 30th here, that has not been announced yet, but you know, anywhere from like 6:30 to 8:30, somewhere in that window. So if you're in the Orlando area, you want to come out to the watch party, we'll be at Wall Street Plaza Tuesday night. As you're listening to this, the Six Fan Show should be going up pretty shortly here. So as you're listening to this, it's definitely up. So go ahead and check that out. I think that's going to do it for this one. We'll have another episode we'll be recording after game five. We'll talk about all of that. There'll be the post-game live presented by Rock'em immediately after each game on YouTube, so make sure that you're tapping into those as well. Going to do it for this one. For Luke Sylvia, this has been Jonathan Osborne. You all have been listening to the Six Man Show, and we will catch you guys next time. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Sixth Man Show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and Spotify to get new episodes downloaded directly to your phone. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It helps out the show a lot. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Sixth Man Show. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Magic!
Let's go Magic! Let's go Magic! Let's go Magic!
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.